Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
And today's show is me thanking you for listening to this show, for downloading it, and for making it a success. And before I move on, I want to thank my sponsors for jumping on the back of this show, because this just ain't any old show. This sumbitch is a little bit edgy. It takes a real sumbitch to jump on the back of this freight train. And I'd appreciate if you support these sponsors. Give them a look. Check out what they're all about. They help keep this show on the air for free. It's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for everybody. Plus, they got some good shit. So check it out. Also, before I get rolling on this sumbitch and tell you two bust-ass stories that are true stories which happened to me, one which involves me almost dying, I want to remind you that Redneck Island, the season premiere, starts on June 5th on CMT, Country Music Television, right after the CMT Music Awards. That's June 5th. Redneck Island, best damn show on TV. I might be a little bit biased, but that's just the way it is, and that's all I got to say about that. With that being said, let me take a breath of fresh air. I got a death-defying story to tell you folks. True story. Almost died recently. How did you almost die, Steve? Did you get hit by a car? Did a building almost fall on you? A piece of metal from the sky? An airplane? What was it? That was none of that shit. I slipped in a goddamn bathtub and almost busted my head open. Now think about it, folks. If I'd have slipped down in the bathtub and busted my goddamn head on a piece of glass with the sharp edges of my shower, that would have been a real shitty way for me to die. But it damn near happened. And out of all the things that anybody ever remembers of Steve Austin, I don't want him to be sitting around saying, well, goddamn, tell me again how old Steve Austin met his demise. Well, some bitch slipped on a bar of soap when he was reaching down to pick up his scrubber on a stick, ass over tea kettle, busted his head on a sharp edge, and bled to death. Oh, shit, it damn near happened, and here's how it happened. I was in the shower, scrubbing up, had a little bit of soap in my eyes, and tried to reach for my scrubber on a stick. Now, normally, I got a little clear mat in there, like a lot of you people have. It's usually a clear mat, or it's one of those white ones with the little suction cups on the bottom of it. Keeps you from slipping in the shower. Well, I had one, but that little motherfucker was folded up on the side of the bathtub. So my lazy ass was too lazy to pick it up and put it at the bottom of the bathtub. So I almost slipped and killed myself. So I started thinking to myself, man, I'm a guy. Guys are stupid, but guys are tough and macho, too, at least when you come from my neck of the woods. But you ain't even got to be tough and macho to do this. I started thinking, man, I got to make this shower a little bit more of a tough environment, a little bit cooler. Make a cool factor to it, because I always enjoy a good shower. You know, to scrub all the dirt and shit off, you know, from going to the gym and everything. I'll probably take a couple showers a day. And safety being paramount, I might as well remodel my bathtub. And make it, you know, deck it out so it's like cool as a motherfucker to go in there. Not just to get clean, but as a place to hang out as well. So I started thinking I got to start with the floor first. And that little clear suction pad gimmick, it's effective, but it ain't cool enough. It ain't tough enough. So what I figured I was going to do, I'd get my pocket knife. We all carry a pocket knife. Remember the earlier shows when I said every guy must have a pocket knife? I'm going to get my pocket knife, and I'm going to get a mud grip tire. And I'm going to use that pocket knife to peel the treads off that mud grip tire. Maybe something like a BF Goodrich All-Terrain TA or something like that. And line the bottom of that floor with that mud grip. That way, it's tough. I ain't going to slip, and I feel like a guy. Then while I'm at it, got to dress that sumbitch up a little bit more, right? How about hanging a gun rack in there? Shit, I'm not going to keep my guns in there because then they'd rust up. But I can keep my scrubber on a stick there for when I'm really dirty. I can get one of those barbecue steel scrubbers. You know what I'm talking about? Mo sitting looking at you. You know what I'm talking about, Mo? Shit, don't I? You got to have one of these motherfuckers in your shower. What else can I put in there? Well, you know, on my scrubber on a stick, I can also put a scope on my scrubber on a stick. That way, I can really put the crosshairs on all that dirt on my body. From head to toe, I'll put the crosshairs on it. Hell, I'll put that Miata 12 by, what's my Miata scope? That Miata 4 by 12 by 50 scope we just came out with for the Broken Skull Ranch. I'll dial in on that fucking soap and scrub the shit out of it till it comes off. Then what else can I do to make that sandwich even more cooler, Mo? Well, I got it. I'm a man of CB in that motherfucker. A man of CB, just in case of an emergency. I can see it right now. It's going to happen like this. I'm in the shower. I get some soap in my eyes. I take a tumble. I reach up and I grab my mic. Breaking 1-9. I've fallen and I can't get up. Eric, what's your 20, good buddy? I'm over here on 316 Gimmick Street. I need you to send me an ambulance. Mo, that could save my goddamn life, couldn't it? Having a CB in the shower is a great idea. What are you going to do, carry your cell phone in there? No, you can't take a cell phone in the shower. You're going to make the motherfucker quit. I got an iPhone. If I take it in the shower, it's going to break down. I got the CB backup. There's going to be about 50 to 100 truckers out in front of my damn house trying to carry me to the hospital. It's going to be a beautiful thing. We're going to have a convoy to get Austin's dumb ass to the hospital. That's all the customization I've come up with on my shower, folks. It's bullshit. I always try to teach you some stuff on this show. I told you to get a pocket knife. I told you to put a spare key out in front of your house. Now, get your lazy ass. Go get you one of them little suction cup gimmicks. Put it down in your shower or your bathtub so you don't fall and bust your little head open. And you can also, folks, if you want to keep on this upgrading your shower, making this shower a little bit more of a manly thing, you can email me your ideas for making a macho shower to questions@steveaustinshow.com. Any kind of comments you got, folks, just come on and send them to questions@steveaustinshow.com. I'm looking at my producer in here, Mo, and Mo's shaking his head. Mo, you got a goddamn mat in the bottom of your shower?
No, I don't. I think my shower just has, like, the mat already built into it, like some kind of acrylic on the floor.
Acrylic? You got one of them fancy sumbitches, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, the lady made me get something fancy, so we got a fancy apartment, and it comes with that in the fancy apartment.
You got, like, a handy grab rail in case you fall down?
I do. It's like it's a vertical handy grab rail and then a horizontal one. So I think it's some kind of handicap accessible.
So anyway you fall, no matter how bad you get fucked up, you can grab it with horizontal and vertical. You got all your bases covered.
Yep.
Any more safety features in your shower?
Well, you know, no, not at all. It's actually quite dangerous. I got a glass door. I'm thinking if I fall, I might break that glass and cut my shit up.
That's my whole deal. I got two heavy glass doors, and I kind of take... We got two showers, and my wife's got the good shower in the master bedroom. I got to have my separate shit, you know? So I go into the guest shower, and that's where I got to step into the jacuzzi tub, and it's got the heavy sliding glass doors. If you slam on those sumbitches too hard, you're always scared it's going to shatter. So if I would have slipped down in the shower, busted my cabeza on that damn glass, it would have busted into a million pieces, shards of glass coming down into my jugular vein. It would have been so damn bloody, I would have died for sure. I haven't mounted my CB yet. I couldn't have called the truckers to call me for some help, so I'd have been fucked.
What do you think those truckers would say if you're calling them up?
Well, you know, truck drivers are good people. I always could have been a truck driver back in my days because, you know, going down the road, that's what we did from show to show to show. And I love to drive. So it just harkens me back to a little bit of Red Sovine. Breaker, is anybody there? Come on, truckers, and talk to Teddy Bear. If those truckers would line up for miles and miles and miles to go see old Teddy Bear, they'd damn sure line up to come see my dumb ass. Don't you figure they would?
Yeah, they'd get there, and you'd just be bloodied out on the ground.
Now, don't get me wrong. There's some damn asshole truck drivers out there as well, because I go back and forth to Texas a lot on I-10 in my damn RV. And, well, I sold it. We're in our SUV now trying to find another RV. But there's some damn idiot truck drivers out there as well. So I'm not blowing smoke up everybody's ass out there who's driving a truck, because there's some damn good ones out there, and there's some shitty ones as well. Have you been driving down the roads lately, Mo?
Yeah, I just drove up to San Francisco. It's pretty scary driving up on the 99 to San Fran. There's some crazy truck drivers out there that look like they're racing with each other up on two-lane highways.
Hey, man, there's a little bit of gimmicky stuff in the damn truck stops as well out there in the parking lot. Man, there's a whole subculture over there. They got chicks and freaks and guys and all kinds of shenanigans that go on in these places. Did you not know about this?
I had no idea. Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, this is just word on the street. But, I mean, you know, those guys or gals get on the road, they're lonely just like any motherfucker is anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? So there's things that happen.
Do you pay for these things, or are they just a bill?
Like I said, sometimes I feel like a truck driver. I'm not a truck driver. I haven't paid for an act of sex in my entire life. But I'm just saying, it is out there. Some of these areas can be a little bit shady. And then some of these guys, you wonder, because I drive, and most time on my first leg of the trip, I'll put in about 800 miles. Or, you know, sometimes I've driven the straight 1500 straight through. And you talk about coffeed up like a sumbitch, mister, because you got to be. So, you know, some of those guys are on the coffee. Some of them are on the ephedrine. But some of those people making the crossover to the dark side with the white crosses and all the other speedy gimmicks. So, you know, once you start getting that white line fever, pop a couple of white crosses and some caffeine on top of that, you get a little edgy. Safety factor, Mo. Safety factor. You know what? Let's shift subjects. I want to tell you about a story I just had. I made a trip to the store the other day. First of all, you know, I wanted to cover my bathroom story, and we talked about truck drivers, how we got there. Because we called them for help. And just go on record here, Mo. I love truck drivers. Good folks, hardworking folks. Let's talk about tampons. Recently, my wife asked me to go to the store and buy her some tampons. And, you know, when the wife wants me to go to the store and get her some tampons or whatever, I'm going to go to the store and get them. And it's always strange when you get this request, because I'm a pretty old dude. I mean, I'm 48 years old, but I probably only bought tampons like 3 or 4 times in my life. And maybe one time was for my mom. And that was back when I was a little stupid sumbitch, you know, then you're embarrassed as hell. But so anyway, my wife wanted the tampons. So what am I going to say? No, no. I loaded my dumb ass up in my Bronco, put Hershey in there, and went down to the store. So I got all of my little shopping cart. I'm going to go ahead and get me some shit there while I'm there too. Get some beef and some chicken and stuff for my diet. And I said, okay, better go check out them tampons. And I go to the feminine hygiene section, and dude, have you bought tampons lately? Have you seen the options?
There's a lot of options.
A lot. There's a shit pile of options. I started looking around there, and back in the day, I mean, you went to that little section, there's like 5 or 6 gimmicks. And that it was what it was. And I'm scouring this sumbitch looking for all the stuff. And I'm thinking, there's so many options, this is driving me crazy. So I started thinking to myself immediately, this is going to be a damn skit, because I'm going to have to tell this story because it's true. And so I started taking pictures with my iPhone of all the different tampon options. And right, lo and behold, when I start looking for the tampons, the correct ones, because you probably, if you ever bought them, you know, if your wife asks for a certain brand specific tampon, you can't bring the wrong son of bitches home, because she's going to send your ass right to the store, because that ain't what she uses. So I start taking pictures. And when I start taking pictures, all of a sudden, here comes all the women. Just like somebody cued them in a movie. Okay, Steve's looking at the tampons. Everybody drive by with your shopping cart and look at him like he's a fucking asshole. And I got my camera out. I'm taking pictures. And this one lady came by about twice. And I can tell by the way she's looking at me that she thinks I'm a piece of dirt. I got my camouflage shirt on. I got flip-flops, my grungy brown shorts, the same shit I wear every day. And I'm taking pictures of all the tampon boxes. So then every time, you know, I had about another 20 minutes of shopping to do. Every time I passed in the store, she's looking at me like I'm the biggest piece of shit in the world. I felt bad about it. But I want to go back to these tampons, because I got this computer open in front of me. I got a new iPhone, so when I got my new iPhones, my pictures didn't transfer. So I'm looking here on the damn website, and I got like 100 options here. You got Tampax Pearl with the plastic applicator, unscented, Playtex Gentle Glide, Kotex U-Click, Walgreens Perfection tampons.
Wait, you said unscented?
Everybody knows
scented tampons?
But there's got to be. If there's an unscented, you would lead you to believe that there's a scented. And me, if you heard my story earlier, I like unscented soap, unscented deodorant. So the unscented thing, I guess it makes sense for a tampon. got Gentle Glide, you got Pro Comfort non-applicators, you got applicators, you got more unscented stuff, Tampax Radiant, Walgreens Perfections, Sport Tampons, Pearl Tampons, Pro Comfort non-applicator tampons, Natural Balance Security Tampons. Security, some of it's come with a lock on it or what? You got Maximum Hygiene Products Organic Cardboard Applicator Tampon. See, these things come with the applicator or the non-applicator. You got the super absorbent, the regular absorbent, Moxie Tampons unscented. Then you go into the winged and unwinged, the panty liners. There's just so many goddamn options out there, Mo. I was bamboozled, flabbergasted, confused, what to do. And there's this, so I finally picked the ones that I thought were supposed to be the ones. I ended up buying the wrong ones. But these ones that I started looking at, I started looking inside the box because that had that cutout window in the front of it. And these were like red and blue and green and yellow. It's like party flavor, party colored tampons, like balloons at a birthday party. And I'm thinking, what in the fuck is going on here? It's like there's a party for the pussy, but the pussy's closed down. It's like Clark W. Griswold taking the family to Wally World in the movie Vacation. And they get there and the moose says, sorry, folks, park's closed. And so there's this big fucking party. Nobody's invited to this motherfucker. And I don't know where to shit or wind my watch. So finally, I pick a goddamn box. It's the wrong box. I drive home. Oh, well, I can't forget the buying process. When you buy tampons, there's always that little gimmick thing because, you know, if it's a lady checking you out, well, she knows, you know, that the wife is having her period and, you know, she's cool about it because it's something, you know, that is what it is. But then when you see the guys checking you out, you know, you don't want that motherfucker to know you're taking some tampons home to the old lady. You know, it just ain't cool. So, you know, that motherfucker's thinking, well, that motherfucker ain't getting no pussy, is he? So, you know, it is what it is. They're just kind of that. It's kind of like when he's grabbing those to check them out or run them through the scanner. It's like, hey, well, how about them Cowboys this year? Yeah, let's see if Romo can put it together. Yeah, that motherfucker, he's accurate. He's a good quarterback, but he shits the bed at the last fucking minute. All of a sudden, the tampon's going to bag. You can stop talking to that motherfucker then. Anyway, what they need to do, if anybody's listening, there's only about 600 tampon manufacturers out there. Do this for me. Do me a favor. Somebody package a bunch of these tampons in an OD green box, an OD green and black box, military style, so a guy can go in and buy a box of tampons and look cool and tough about it, at the same time being a hero for the lovely wife at home. Somebody please do that for me.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household, and right now, as a listener of our show, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with the new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/Steve and use offer code Steve. No matter where you're at in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without.
All right, folks, that's enough talk about dying in the shower, truck drivers, and trying to buy the right tampon for your wife. Let's move on to bigger and better things and talk about you fans and make this show work like a sumbitch. I want to go to the email, read a couple of emails. I got a couple of statements and answer a few questions and just get on with it in general. All right, first question is from Ruben over in Corpus Christi. Ruben says, hey, Steve, glad I discovered the show. Since I started listening, I've been rewatching some classics, and I've always wondered, when two men are face-to-face mouthing off to one another, are they actually speaking? If so, what's being said? Usually after delivering a stunner, you get in your victim's face and just let them have it. I always wondered what kind of stuff you used to say. Thanks again for the show. It's always great to hear your voice. Thanks for writing in, Ruben. I appreciate you listening to the show. And when two guys are face-to-face, normally, man, they could just be talking bullshit to each other, talking about the weather, where you're going to go after the match, or they really might be in it and kind of mouthing off to each other and kind of promo style. If the microphone's not there, it could be anything under the sun. There were so many times when I was standing face to face to a guy, I might just be bullshitting with him, telling him some of the most ludicrous bullshit in the world, or I could actually be talking about, you know, maybe something I was thinking about or direction I wanted to go in the match. But normally it is what it is, and it's a little bit of showbiz, it's a little bit of filler. And as far as what I said to the people I stunned as they were laying on the match, normally it was just a lot of foul-mouthed four-letter words and call them a smelly sumbitch and all this other stuff. I would just kind of, you know, give them the what for after I gave them that stunner, and it's just kind of me, the showbiz part of it, talking trash after, and it really was trash. Everything that came out of my mouth was trash. Here's one. Let's go to an email that came from Rich. Rich says he'd love to hear the Stone Cold beer story. I remember reading a story in our local paper, the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, about you and Vince touring the Genesee Brewery here in Rochester. Was the Genesee Brewery going to be the home of Stone Cold beer? Absolutely, it was. We were already through the product research and development. And let me tell you something, mister. When it comes to research and development on beer, I'm your guy. I love beer, and I love to research beer. So we had already gotten through the artwork. We had already decided on how the beer was going to taste. And I think, if I remember correctly, it was about the time where they wanted me to do the job for Brock Lesnar in Atlanta, Georgia. And I told them, I'll see your ass down the road. It was a bad departure on my part, a really bad decision, probably one of my biggest regrets in my pro wrestling career. I should have handled that situation a little bit better, a little bit smarter, and if I could go back in time, I damn sure would have handled it a little bit differently. But I'd had a gutful. I said what I said, and that pretty much killed that pretty much was the end of the Stone Cold beer before it actually got started. But yes, the Genesee Brewery was going to be the place that brewed our beer. What was I thinking when I told the WWF to kiss my ass? Well, I guess that's just the way I'm wired. It wasn't like, again, I'm not the smartest sumbitch in the world, but where I was at the time, it seemed like the right thing to do. As I look back, not so much. Here's one. This is coming from old Mark. Hey, Steve, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I'm a 23-year-old living in the UK, and I'm stuck in a rut. I have great family, great friends, a good paying job, but I'm fed up of doing the same things every day. Any advice how I can change things up? Well, listen, man. Hey, sometimes a grind is a grind. And, you know, with the economy being what it is, I know over here in the United States, it kind of sucks ass. So if you got a job, you're lucky to have that job, and you got to do everything you got to do to hang on to that job. So, dude, all I can do is tell you is keep your nose to the grindstone. Try to pick up a couple of different hobbies. I didn't really, you know, take out of your email that you were looking to do different kind of work. But for the most part, sounds like you've got a lot of great shit going on with a great family, great friends. Man, that's 2/3 of life right there. So got to pay the bills. Got to do what you got to do. Just pick up a couple of new hobbies or something, dude. Keep listening to the Steve Austin Show. We'll entertain your ass. Keep you out of the doldrums. Before we go to the phone lines, I'm going to answer one more email here. And this comes from Josh. He says, hey, Steve, love the show. I'm interested in knowing about the physical training that goes into being a WWE star. How y'all kept your bodies going after taking beatings every week and what it takes to come back from injuries. Well, let me tell you something. You get out on that road and it's a rough sumbitch. You got to take care of the guy that you're in the ring with. And because, you know, the key to a great career in anything is longevity. So when you get out on the road and you've been out for 3 or 4 weeks at a time, shit starts to happen. Your timing gets off. You know, not every landing can be a perfect landing. And sometimes, I mean, you know, you get beat up and you're dragged out and you're mentally tired, you're physically tired, you're beat to shreds. But it is what it is. And I always tell people when I was on the road, I just kind of turned into a zombie. That was my job. I went to every single shot. I made all my towns. I was the first guy in the building. I was the last guy out. And you just go through the paces because there's a pride with being able to stay on the road. I mean, you work hard. You work hurt because that's just what you do. You can't take yourself out of a storyline. If you take yourself out of your spot, someone else is going to take it. You're not going to be making no money. If you're sitting on your ass in the house, you ain't getting paid. So, you know, you go to the gym. If you get hurt, you ice it. These days they have trainers going around with these guys. They didn't when I was around. Guys would try to take care of each other. I remember one time I hurt my damn neck somewhere in Kansas City. And Harley Race, 8-time world champion, one of the most respected wrestlers in the history of pro wrestling, says, "Okay, come here, kid. I'll fix you." And Harley says, "Lay down on that table." So I lay down on my back, and he wraps his towel around my neck. And then he grabs the towel with both hands, and he yanks that sumbitch as hard as he could, almost rips my head off my body. I swear to God, it scared the shit out of me. He says, "Okay, kid, now stand up." So then I stand up. Harley gets behind me, puts me in a full Nelson, and jerks the shit out of me. And I swear to God, lightning bolt shot out of both hands and both feet. It was an electrical impulse. If someone would have had it on video, you would have seen it. Scared the flying shit out of me. "Well, kid, that ought to make you feel better. You want me to do it again?" "No. No, Harley. Don't fucking touch me." You know, of course, you know, that was Harley Race, so I didn't say that to him, to his face. I said, "Yeah, Harley, I feel a lot better. I'm good now." I walked across the damn restroom, got in the corner, and sold the shit out of it. Anyway, guys got to turn into chiropractors and help each other out. And Harley meant Harley meant well, but I thought he was going to cripple me. But you just do what you do to get down the road. And with that being said, let me get off his email. Let me get done reading. Let's roll in some phone calls and see what you folks got to say. All right, to Steve Austin over here, all choked up. What's happening?
Hey, this is Joe from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, Joe from Portland, Oregon. How are you?
Steve, great. It's an honor to speak with you. I have a quick question. I want to know your thoughts and opinions on people kissing ass in the workplace.
Kissing ass in the workplace. I'll tell you what. It never was my cup of tea, but nonetheless, it's commonplace like a motherfucker. You know, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to try to do that to get up to the top. My approach has always been to work your ass off to get to the top and watch your backside, because there's always somebody there looking to stab you in the back or kiss their ass on the way to the top and drop a bunch of dimes on you. So it is what it is. You got to be smart about it. Keep your cards close to your sleeve, you know, in the workplace. Don't drop a whole lot of 411 on anybody. And my method, and the method that I preach is hard-ass work. Don't kiss ass. Now, by the same token, be smart about it. Don't be belligerent and be an asshole about it. You got to play the game to a degree, but I always adhered to the fact of being just clearly transparent. I'm there to do the best job I can. How's that?
Steve, I completely 100% agree. I appreciate you answering me. Speak of the devil, I got to get back to work right now. Lunch is over.
Go for it. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir.
All right, this is Steve Austin, who I got over here.
Jonathan.
How about you, Jonathan?
Pretty good. My question for you is, if you were a new and up-and-coming wrestler today, which wrestling school would you try to attend?
Man, that is a good question, because I really don't know the current 411 on a lot of the wrestling schools out there. But if you do your due diligence and do a little research and find out some of the people that these cats have turned out, or the basis of their program, what they're preaching there. Is it chain wrestling? Is it learning how to take a bump? Is it storytelling? Is it promos? Is it character development? You don't want to just join some fly-by-night school who's going to teach you how to jump off a top turnbuckle. So I don't know any write-off specifically, but you'd have to do some research before you found one.
All righty. Thank you, Steve.
You got it, man. Take care of yourself. All right, to Steve Austin. How are you?
How's it going, Steve Austin?
Another day at the office. Who am I talking to?
This is Brandon from Maryland. I wanted to say this is a great experience for me to talk to you right now.
Well, what's happening, Brandon? You got a question?
Yes, I do. I wanted to know if you were a Cowboy fan, first and foremost.
Man, I tell you what, I kind of float around on the NFL, and if the Cowboys could get their shit straight, I could, you know, say I'm a tried and true Cowboy fan. But, you know, I kind of float around from program to program, depending on, you know, what the head coach is doing, what the players are doing. Have they bought into the system? You know, my problem with Dallas is I think Tony Romo's a damn good quarterback. But he shits the bed at the most inopportune times. So when I look for leadership on that time, I can't say that Tony Romo is the clear-cut leader. On the defensive side of the ball, I can't say that I see a tried-and-true defensive leader. That's what I think they're lacking on that team. And I think, you know, Jerry Jones, love the guy. You got to let someone else make some of the decisions. And I think Jerry Jones is caught up a little bit too close in it. You know, Romo just got a $100 million contract. It's going to be take him a goddamn hell of a lot of work to try to live up that $100 million contract. And with that being said, I just read in the newspaper that he was going to spend more Peyton Manning-like time in the film room. And, you know, now this is, what, 6-8 years into his career? He should have been doing that from the get-go. So I think he's kind of finally understanding what the game is all about, and there's a way more mental approach. He's got all the physical tools. He's inherently accurate. He has a quick release. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but he can damn sure throw. So he just needs to do some brain work.
Spot on. Spot on. That's exactly the way I feel.
All right, man. Take care. Guys, right, Steve Austin, answered phone here. Who I got on the other end of the line?
My name is Tyler from Canada, sir.
How you doing?
Oh, not too bad, sir. Thanks. Just want to say you're one of the greatest of all time, and I really appreciate you taking the time to answer my question.
Well, what's your question?
Well, sir, I remember your question about relationships, and you know, basically, I've been broken up with a girl for about 3 years, my first and only girlfriend, and the problem is I was the one that screwed up the relationship, and I found out way too late. She moved on, got married a few weeks ago, found out on my birthday. So for my hero, I was hoping I could get advice on how I can move on, because I can't stop thinking about her.
You sent this into a question at steveaustinshow.com, didn't you?
I did, sir. Yes.
I read it. I didn't. It was kind of hard. I'm glad that you called, because it was kind of a hard question to answer just off a piece of paper. But, you know, quite honestly, I think you might have blown it. You know, I think sometimes, you know, guys are stupid. I'm a guy. I did a lot of stupid shit. So what I'm telling you comes from all my fuck-ups and from my experience. Sometimes you got a real good thing and you don't realize it. Then you fuck it up, they find somebody else, and because you was in that asshole mode for as long as you were, or not paying attention to the real details of what was, or the dynamics that were going on in the relationship, you shit the bed. That person has done moved on. They had those memories of who you were, not who you want to be now. That you have decided that you're the guy that fucked up the relationship. So, you know, I always tell people from what I've learned from my relationships, and I'm not shitting on you. I'm just telling you, you know, where I've been. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Once you get into a committed relationship, a committed monogamous relationship with a person, you've got to be tried and true, straight up, honest, address all the issues, and not sweep anything under the carpet. Sounds like you let a good girl get away.
Yeah, you're so right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And, you know, hey, hopefully you come down to Canada one day. I would love to meet you and get my championship belt signed by you, sir. I really appreciate it.
Well, you got it. And here's the deal. You're going to get over this. Time heals all wounds. So just hang in there. Next one you find, treat her right. Do your due diligence and do your part of the deal. And realize, if you got a good one, realize what you got. Good luck to you.
It feels like a whole weight has been lifted off my shoulder. Thank you.
All right, folks. We'll be right back after a short break and a pause for the calls to answer more questions and see what's on your mind. It's Steve Austin. Stay tuned. Hey, man, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Welcome to the Steve Austin Show.
All right. Hank. Had a little Sammy Hager going over there. As we jump right back to the phone lines, got a caller here. Who am I talking to? Where are you coming from?
My name is Cyril. I'm from Egypt.
You got a question for me today?
Yeah, I would like to know, how does it feel like being away from the ring? Do you miss wrestling and stuff, or is it okay with you?
Do I miss it?
Yeah.
No, I don't miss it. I mean, you know, every now and then I think about it. Still like to watch it on TV every now and then, but I got a bunch of good memories of it. But I tell you what, after you've been there, done that, and been at the house for a little bit and get out of your blood, it's good to be back home.
Yes. What was one of your most favorite wrestling careers?
Yeah, I want to focus on my acting career and kind of enjoy the podcast, man. I tell you what, I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, me too. Thanks so much.
All right, this is Steve Austin. Who I got on the other end of the line?
This is Jade.
Jake?
Jade.
Jade, how are you, Jade?
Good, how are you?
Another day at the office. What's going on over there?
It's hot, very hot.
Where are you calling from?
Texas.
What part of Texas?
East Texas and Longview.
Longview, I used to live out there when I was in Kilgore hauling drilling mud for a summer job.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my brother went there to Kilgore Junior College, and of course, when I played football over in south of Houston, we used to go up there and get our ass whooped in East Texas by all those junior college teams.
Well, that was my question. Are you going to come to East Texas anytime soon? Because there's a lot of people that want to see you and meet you. And
coming down to East Texas anytime too soon. I tell you what, I don't think I'll be over there anytime in the near future. I can't think of it. I like to spend most of my time down there in South Texas at the Broken Skull Ranch, and we're getting ready to do a couple of movies, I think, in a New York area in a couple of months. That's going to take me through the summer. We're looking at shooting a pilot for another reality television show, and then right before deer season, we might try to sneak in another season of Redneck Island if it all goes well, so I think it's going to keep me tied up and not able to make that neck of the woods.
I see that. God, they got you busy.
Well, I'm trying to be busy. They keep sending them bills in the mail, and I got to keep working to keep paying them damn things.
No shit. I wish the bills would stop coming here.
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell the postman, stop bringing them motherfuckers to the house. Well, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you listening to the show.
All right, thank you.
Take care of East Texas. Hey, it's Steve Austin. What's happening?
Oh, not too much. How you doing today, sir?
Oh, hell, another day, man, another day. What you got for me today? You got a question?
Yeah, well, I was wondering, as a lot of people saw this past Monday, Paul Heyman introduced his new client, and it's no secret you and Paul Heyman have a little bit of a history. I was wondering, who were you expecting to come out as Paul Heyman's new client on Monday?
Well, that's a good question. I wasn't watching the show. I was traveling or doing something. I haven't seen the last few episodes of Monday Night Raw, but I can just say that's ended up being one of Henning's kids, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, if he's got
Curtis Axel now.
Yeah, if he's related to Kurt Henning, then he's got a damn good chance of being somebody in this business. And on top of that, if he's with Paul Heyman, he's got another good chance of being somebody in this business. So he's got genetics and he's got good, smart people with him. And I think a lot of, Kurt Henning, I think a lot of Paul Heyman. So with this guidance, with the right push, maybe we'll see what kind of success the kid has.
That's great. Have you ever had any interaction with the son, we now know as Curtis Axel?
Say again?
I'm sorry, do you have any experience in the ring at all working with or talking with who we now know as Curtis Axel?
No. The kid came a long way too long after I got out of the ring. But we'll see what he does. They've surrounded him with good people, and he comes from good genetics. So I wish him all the luck in the world, and I appreciate your phone call.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Take care, man. Bye-bye. Yo, you got Steve Austin, who I got on the end of this line.
Hey, Steve. My name is Chris. I'm calling from New Jersey.
What's happening over in New Jersey?
It's raining over here. Nothing but stinking rain, all hardened wet.
Need to send that down to South Texas. We've been in a drought down there. What kind of question you got for me today?
I'll do what I can. My question is, what are your top three favorite movies of all time?
Man, top three favorite movies of all time, just off the top of my head, Shawshank Redemption, Cool Hand Luke, and Jeremiah Johnson. You ever heard any of those?
I heard of
Shawshank Redemption, and Cool Hand Luke. I haven't heard of the third one.
Jeremiah Johnson, starring Robert Redford. Robert Redford, back in the day, turned into a mountain man after he was a city slicker. So that's one that you most definitely must watch. Jeremiah Johnson.
Oh, I'm definitely in. Oh, yeah, definitely checking that out.
Well, take care and stay out of the damn rain over there in Jersey.
I will, Steve.
Take care, man. Thanks for listening to the show.
No problem.
Hey, Steve Austin, what's happening?
Hey, Steve, this is Jason from Ohio.
What's going on in Ohio?
Nothing, man. Just enjoying the weather and vacation time.
Whereabouts in Ohio are you at?
Right around Amish country.
Where's that at?
Mid-central Ohio, kind of halfway between Cleveland and Columbus.
Cleveland. Cleveland's where that guy kidnapped in three women, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'd like to get on a goddamn airplane, come up there and whip the shit out of that guy. You talk about an ignorant son of a bitch, crazier than a shithouse rat. They need to take that son of a bitch out and put one behind his ear.
Well, I agree with you, man. I'd pay to see that one.
Well, what you got for him? You got a question?
Yeah, I was calling to see if there was ever any real heat between you and The Rock and you were both running hard and had your feuds going, or if it was just all good, you know, good workmanship, and it was, you know, just a work to keep the fans excited.
Man, I tell you what, that wasn't nothing, no animosity there at all. You'd got two cats bucking for the number one spot. Man, coming from the run I had, I can't never say that I was number two while I was active. So in my eyes, I was always number one, but there's never any animosity. Love being in the ring with The Rock. Great chemistry, great guy, a hard-ass worker every single night. And when you're talking about the business of anything, but particularly anything in a professional wrestling, professional sports, you're talking about extreme individual competition. And it's, you know, survival of the fittest, it's survival of the best, and survival to those who can stay healthy. And so it was all those things wrapped into one. It was a great storyline for, you know, for people just to watch both of us go through our paces, different angles, people we were feuding with. And it was like, you know, a double shot. Anytime you went to a WWE card, not only did you have all the other people who were hot and on fire, but you got to see Stone Cold and Rock on many of the same cards working two different matches, or if you got lucky, working a match together and having a lot of fun.
Hell yeah, man. Is there any chance of maybe getting him on the show someday? I don't know if you guys still talk or not.
Yeah, we'll text about once a year or something like that. He's been busy going his direction. I've been going my direction. If he can slow down for a second, love to have him on the show.
Awesome, brother. I appreciate you taking the call.
Well, you go down there at Cleveland, stomp a mud hole in that sumbitch's ass, old Castro, and walk it dry for me.
Will do, Steve.
All right, man. Catch you down the road.
Thanks.
Hey, what's happening? It's Steve Austin. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Question for you. My wife is in the military, and at some point she's going to be deployed. How did you handle long-distance relationships during your wrestling career?
Long-distance relationships. I tell you what, man. Being deployed, that's a whole different ballgame. That's some serious long-distance separation. I wish you guys all the best. Obviously, I didn't handle it too well. I got three divorces. So I think you're barking up the wrong tree for a guy like me to give you advice. It's going to be hard. It'll certainly test the mettle of your relationship, the love, the commitment that you have for each other. And that's the bottom line. I don't really know what else to tell you, but it certainly won't be easy.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call.
All right. Good luck, and I hope she's safe.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. This is Steve Austin, who I got on the end of the line over there.
My name is Reggie.
Well, what's happening?
My question for you is, I was wondering if you would consider wrestling with the WWE again anytime soon, and if so, who would you want to wrestle?
Nah, I don't have any plans right now to step it back in the ring with anybody. I got my hands full doing what I'm doing, having a good time. Every now and then I'll check Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, see how these young cats are doing. Seem like The Shield is doing well. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Kurt Hennig's son. But as far as my plans to get back in the ring, I don't see any on the near horizon.
Okay.
Well, all right, appreciate the question.
All right, thank you very much.
Hello, it's Steve Austin.
Hi, Steve. This is Tony from Northern California.
What's happening, Tony?
I was going to say, first off, your interview with JR the other day was great, that you brought about the fact that he was from Northern California. I really enjoyed that.
Not a whole lot of people know that. Go ahead. Give me a question.
All right. Yes, my question to you is, when in 1996, after the King of the Ring, when you did, you said Austin 316 says, I just blanked, you know, you're behind. I don't want to say that on, you know, the radio. But when you said that and there was a religious backlash about it, how did you feel? And you didn't have anything against religion per se, but it's part of the character. But when people came at you against you saying that, how did you respond to that? And did any of the wrestlers, such as Shawn Michaels now, have turned their lives around with Christianity? How did they sort of resolve that with you, that you would say you said that in the past?
Oh, you know, I never really had any backlash over it. You know, I don't know if the company back in is working as WWF did. But, hell, I remember right then when the whole Austin 316 thing was going through the roof, and I was pretty much the hottest thing on 2 feet. I'd be walking through airports, and preachers that were traveling and people like that would ask me for my autograph, and they were never offended by it. So some people that clutch that Bible pretty damn tightly that and are offended by anything, well, then maybe they were offended by it. But I never meant it as anything sacrilegious, anti-religious, or anything like that. It's just something that popped into my head, and I said it, and had great success with it. I remember, and just as I kind of parallel this, when I first came into the company, they had zero plans for me. And I came in as a ringmaster. And I came in when they were pushing Mark Henry, Vader, and a bunch of other guys, Mark Merrow. And they were merchandising the shit out of these guys and didn't have any plans for me. And finally, the guy who was running the merchandise stand, I just turned into Stone Cold Steve Austin. It was right after King of the Ring. Finally, the office saw that I was heating up and they needed to do something or they were going to miss the boat. And a guy comes up to me and said, Steve, they finally want to do a T-shirt on you. Do you have any ideas? And I said, you goddamn right I do. Get Austin 316, put it on the front of the shirt, put in a skull on the back and carve in Stone Cold like it was carved in with a chisel. He goes, okay, Steve, I'll pitch that to the office. So Jimmy pitches the idea back to the office, and I get a call from Vince McMahon. And Vince says, you know, Steve, I think that skull is kind of Undertaker's gimmick. And back then, you never did want to infringe on anybody else's territory. And I said, well, I don't think it is. He said, well, if you call him and get clearance from Taker, then I'm cool with it. So I called Undertaker up, dropped the 411 on him, and asked if it was cool. And Mark, Undertaker, being as cool as he is, he goes, hey, man, I got no problem with that. And that's how I first started off the first Austin 316 shirt, and skulls would be implemented on basically all of my shirts after that. But it started with that 316 shirt. And as far as Shawn Michaels goes, a guy that, you know, found God, found religion, and found a strength and a pillar to believe in, I commend him on that. But I make no apologies for who and what I am or what I represent. I appreciate the question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, to Steve Austin. What's happening?
Steve Austin. Andrew from San Antonio, Texas, a little town south of it, I guess. Somerset, Texas. Have you heard of it?
Somerset? Yeah, I drive there all the time on the way to the ranch.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just wondering, a couple of friends of mine, we have a backyard wrestling federation called Extreme Showdown Wrestling. I just wanted to know your thoughts on backyard wrestling in general.
Well, you know, a lot of stuff I've seen is pretty damn hazardous. You know, if you're just out there, you know, having fun and trying to learn the business, or if that's all it's ever going to be, man, I got no problems with doing whatever you want to do. Just be careful. You know, when you start jumping off shit and doing stupid stuff that you can damn sure get hurt at, that's a dangerous element. But as far as entertainment or a hobby, I got no problem with it at all.
And that's what we're all about, like, because we choreograph it all to give the people, like, the best show possible, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's everybody talks about choreographing. Just be careful with what you do and have fun at it, and obviously use common sense, don't do anything too damn stupid, and enjoy yourself.
Definitely. I'm a big fan, Austin. I just heard the Jim Ross podcast earlier, loved it.
Well,
I'm a big fan, and I'll keep listening.
Y'all stay cool down there in Texas. Thanks for the call.
I'll try out here in this heat. Thank you.
All right. Hello, it's Steve Austin. What's happening?
Hey, what's up, Steve?
Hell, I'm just kicking it over here in North Hollywood, California, right outside. Well, I guess I'm in Los Angeles, man. Shit's going crazy over here, but it's a nice, cool day. I'm in a studio taking calls from wonderful people. How the hell are you?
I'm great, man. I'm talking to my favorite wrestler of all time, and listen, it's hard for me not to mark out right now. I just want to say really quickly, I'm not going to bother you with my wrestling marking out, but I want to say thank you, Steve. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
Well, hell, shit, man. I had a good time doing that job. Probably best job I ever had. I appreciate you watching the son of a bitch.
Yes, I'm going to get you my question, all right?
All right.
My question is, I want your thoughts on Brock Lesnar going from mixed martial arts, going from professional wrestling to mixed martial arts, and your thoughts on how he did in his endeavor, because obviously it is really rare to see a guy go from professional wrestling to mixed martial arts and being that successful in that world.
Well, I tell you what, you don't see that. But, you know, Brock is a special individual with superhuman genetics. The guy came from a wrestling background, so that was already in his blood and in his brain. And, you know, obviously made the obvious graduation from that into pro wrestling, which so many do. And then, you know, kind of got a little bit sick of the business, maybe sick of the travel, and thought he was going to try to play a little football. And, you know, Brock has the size and strength to do anything in the world that he wants to do. But when you're trying to play football against people who played football all their lives and are just as good or kind of just as big, that technique that they have from the experience is going to kind of win over. So if Brock had played football as a youngster more and really focused on that more so than wrestling, I believe he would have succeeded in professional football. So anyway, with the background that he had, called up Dana White, got into business with the UFC. I think the guy was tremendously successful. Obviously, his pay-per-view numbers speak for themselves. Had a couple of badass fights. Got caught up in a couple of, when Frank Mir tapped him out with that damn ankle lock. He was in some slobber knockers, to quote JR. And then to kind of, you know, run into all the physical problems that he had with diverticulitis. And I think that's what cut his career short there. I don't know how many times we really saw a 100% healthy Brock Lesnar compete. He's a very special human being, and then just decided to segue back into the business of professional wrestling, maintain that that high profile, which he still enjoys, but kind of be a little bit easier physically on his body. So I think the guy's kicked ass at every single thing he's done.
Yes. Well, according to Paul Heyman, we've never seen a healthy Brock Lesnar up until today. This is a scary thing.
Indeed it is, and I wish him all the health in the world and a great, outstanding run in the WWE.
Yes. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
Appreciate your call.
You're an inspiration for me. I love you, man. You're the man.
Thank you, man. Hello, you got Steve Austin. What you got?
Just wanted to know if there was one celebrity that you ever been awestruck by.
No, you know what? I can't say that I have. You know, maybe if I'd have met John Wayne or Elvis Presley or Michael Jackson, but I never met none of those cats. Probably the coolest guy, or you know, maybe the guy that I would have to put at the top of that list. I got a chance to meet Andre the Giant at Center Stage in Atlanta before, you know, he died. Andre was kind of on his way down. He was on the crutches, just kind of after that back surgery that he had and all the issues that he was having from a medical standpoint. And it was a goal and a dream of mine to meet Andre the Giant. So I'll probably have to put him at the top of that list.
Awesome, awesome.
Well, thanks for calling in, champ.
All right, thank you.
All right. Hello, you got Steve Austin. What's happening?
Yeah, hey, Steve, it's Kevin from New York.
Kevin from New York. What's the word?
Yeah, how's everything? Okay?
Hell, got some good weather down here. You got a question for me?
Yeah, do you have any hatred toward Owen Hart, you know, since he got you a neck injured and he never called to say sorry or something?
Man, bygones are bygones. That was a long time ago, and, you know, sadly, Owen is no longer with us. A tragic accident that he had there in Kansas City at Kemper Arena. You know, did I feel some animosity for a while? Yes, sir, I did, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, things happen in the ring. things happen in life. You can get mad at things for a little bit, but after enough time has gone by, you just got to let things ride and move on down the road. And I moved on down the road.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate
Thank you.
What's that?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your time.
You got it. Take care of yourself. All right, this is Steve Austin coming back at you. I tell you what, it's been a good session of questions, and I appreciate you folks calling in. Appreciate your support on this show. Ever since this show's been on the air, it's kind of been a combination of a lot of things, and I still continue to not want to define this show or put it in a box or follow any set protocols. Sometimes it's interviews. Sometimes it's horse shit. Sometimes it's being in Mexico without any internet, and you got to make up a bunch of goddamn stuff about flies and wrestling flies and all kinds of horse shit. But it is what it is, and I enjoy doing the Steve Austin Show. I appreciate all the feedback you guys been giving me. You can send in your feedback, any kind of questions, any kind of remarks you got to questions@steveaustinshow.com. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. I did this show for you.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of the Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.